Hi there, members, and welcome to the club, the live session for today, for this week. And welcome, this is the first one where just the paying members are involved. So thank you so much for sticking with the club. I hope it continues to deliver strong value to you. Your participation in letting me know what's working, what challenges you have, will certainly help make sure that this is even more successful for you. I've just realized that my printer is downloading something. I hope it's not going to slow down my internet. Now I'm going to be sharing my screen and we can get stuck straight into it. So clicking on today's live session, and what we're talking about today is how to increase the value of your patient base. And the reason why this is a topic is I get asked often, what's the best way to market the practice? What's best SEO advertising, Google AdWords, online advertising? There's a lot of things that are available to us in terms of promotion and marketing of our services. But the very first step is often a step that is missed. And I find it a crucial step. And hopefully by the end of our session today, you'll also see why it's a crucial step. So I'm going to go into the PowerPoint that I've created for this live session. Just make sure that everyone's on board and we've got recording going. Marvelous. Okay. So how to increase the value of your, actually, I'm not even screen staring. I need to be able to do that first. Then you guys can see it too. That's helpful. How to increase the value of your patient base. Quite often, we think the best way we can improve the value of our client base is by getting more and more new patients in large proportions into the practice. That's not always the case. It is so crucial to identify valuable clients that really do add value to your practice over the long term, who those patients are, rather than just having this scattergun effect of marketing to everybody, all and sundry. Now, many times I come across and work with practices that have started from scratch. Those sort of practices, you need to fill the books. That's how you pay the bills. And so you do take everybody, and you are less punishing of those people that have late cancellations or FTAs. You want them to be able to rebook, so you make it nice and easy for them to do so. You don't necessarily fee them for the FTA or the late cancellation. You just strictly get them back in the book again at another time. However, as your journey of practice ownership continues, you will find that the times that were previously allocated to people that late cancelled, that gap that's created in the appointment book, you're so busy now that that could have been a paying customer. So over time, you get reduce the need down just to take anybody that will fill that book and pay money for the services that you offer. You start to become much more selective about who you're putting in. I'm not going to give that time to that patient because they fail to attend all the time. And we need somebody who's actually going to pay for that session to come in. And so as your journey of evolution within your practice evolves, your practice starts to want and need different things. No longer is it about just filling that book. Now it's about filling the book with productive stuff that's really going to create value for your practice. Every practice is made up of three types of patients. No matter where the practice is, there's three types of patients: transient, loyal, and perpetual. The transient patients, and I've made them a little character that's a little bit smaller, that's to indicate their financial value to the practice itself, not their intrinsic value as a human being. No, no, no. Their financial value to the turnover of the practice. The transient patients, you all know them. They come in for emergencies only. Rarely do they complete any advised treatment. For example, you come in for a toothache, I've diagnosed you with a dead nerve and you need to come back for a root canal, and then you just never see them again. Or you say you really do have quite a number of issues going on in your mouth, let's look after this toothache appointment time, this toothache for you, but then I do suggest you come in for a checkup just to get everything else assessed. You never see them again. The transients also don't really have recall appointment times. They're not particularly loyal either. So if you saw them for a toothache appointment time today and then they get another one in 6 months' time, they'll give you a call to see if you're available and can see them at a time that suits them. But if you're not available, no skin off their nose, I'll just call the next dentist down the road. You have a higher risk of broken appointment times with transient patients. They don't have a relationship with you guys. It's no skin off their nose. If they book an appointment time, book somewhere else a bit sooner, don't bother calling, they'll just FTA. Then the second category of patients are the loyals. And I call them loyals for a specific reason. When I purchased my practice back in 2003 from David Fenwick in Brighton here in Victoria, that practice David had been running for decades. It had been in that location since 1970, but it had originally started in Collins Street in the city. When I took over, I got the usual sort of thing, got David to write up a beautiful letter espousing all the wonderful attributes of our new dentist coming on board, Michelle. I sent that letter to every patient that had come to the practice in the past 5 years. I thought I was covering my bases. But as I was sitting there on the front desk, that was my job. I was the receptionist as the owner. And I'd feel all these phone calls coming through. And every now and again, years into my practice ownership, I'd get a patient that would ring up and ask for an appointment time with David. I'd say, he'd actually sold the practice 3 years ago. I can book you with somebody else. And they would say, oh my gosh, I was never notified. I had no idea. Why didn't you tell me that he was selling the practice? I said, well, I did send letters to everybody that had been in the past 5 years. I thought I was catching everybody. And I thought I was catching all the loyal patients. And they would say to me, I'm just as loyal as anybody else. I've never seen a different dentist. It's always been David. They're just not regular attenders for recalls. So I've called this second category of patients loyal patients, because that is exactly how they see themselves. And so, yes, they will get their emergencies done through you, but only through you. If you can't see them today for the emergency, they'll wait till tomorrow, because they'll only have trust with you. They complete advised conservative treatment. So they, if you say to them, you've got other decays there, I think we need to book an appointment time for a checkup, they'll be there. If you say, you've got a toothache there, I've diagnosed that you need a root canal filling and then a crown afterwards, they'll book it in. They may not book in for the smile makeover or for the Invisalign or for the implant, but they'll book in for all the conservative treatment. They will absolutely have some recalls, so not every 6 months, possibly not even every year. They'll come in every 1 to 2 years for their recalls. They are definitely loyal for all the reasons why I stated before, and you do have a lower risk of broken appointment times with this group because they have a relationship with you. They feel committed to you and making you happy and keeping promises with you. The third group are the perpetuals. These are the ones that continue coming regularly and forever. So certainly you see them for emergencies, again, like the loyal. They'll only come to you for the emergencies. They'll wait for you to be available for them. They'll complete all advised treatments. You know what? I really think that if you had Invisalign and you adjusted the position of some of those teeth, you would stop accumulating so much tartar down there on the bottom. I really do suggest that. If you suggest it, I'll get it done. They come in every 6 or 12 months for their recalls. Those people that will come in no matter what, it's part of their human behaviour to look after their teeth and come for those recalls. They are definitely loyal and they certainly present the lowest risk of broken appointment times. They've got a strong relationship with you guys. They're going to cancel other stuff, not upset you. So of these three groups, these three categories of patients, what makes up your clinic? Now, talking about that dental practice that was just opened up, you've got vacant appointment books and you're just wanting to book anybody in. You're offering discounted dentistry. We'll see you immediately. You're advertising for the emergencies to come through. You will start to accumulate a larger percentage of transient patients at the start. You'll certainly have some loyal and perpetuals, but you'll have some transients there in larger proportion. Is that what you want moving forward? If you're an established practice, is that what you want for yourself now? And I say, I think you want a higher level of value in your practice, and let's go. So when we're talking about transient patients, we're certainly not saying not to see emergencies. Absolutely. In actual fact, it's the transients that often leave the best 5-star Google reviews because you've got them out of trouble and they're so thankful. Transient patients are required for goodwill, from a moral perspective and a professional perspective as well. We need to look after the community. So the transients are absolutely as important as loyals and perpetuals, but what I'm talking about is who are you going to market towards? Who are you going to have the operations of the practice, the systems that you develop for your practice, who are you going to have those systems catered for? And let's look at if your practice was made up primarily of the perpetual patients, let's take a snapshot into them and the value they present to your practice. This is a grid that I developed, and these are average general figures that I collated over a number of years of consulting with clients, dental practice clients. There are figures of a few years ago. I haven't updated this lately, but it's still a worthwhile process to go through. When we're looking at these figures, we are absolutely looking for averages and generalities. If you try to get too specific, this task won't be useful. What we want is to get an indication of what the value of your patient base looks like and the value of really trying to appeal to those loyals and perpetuals coming through. Let's have a look at a perpetual patient. A perpetual patient will get recalls with bite wings bi-yearly every 6 months. And so the value of that visit, to say it's $230, it's a checkup and the clean, and one bite wing since it's taken every 2 years, times that over two visits every year, and that equals a yearly tally of $460. Let's now look at the emergencies. And so of your perpetual patients, how often do they get an emergency? Usually, because they've got well-maintained dentitions, because they're there every 6 to 12 months, they usually don't have an emergency often. Let's say once every 2 years. And so that's 0.5 of a visit every year on average. And let's just say we go from one end of the spectrum where it's an emergency and we're just smoothing off a chip, wasn't that bad after all the way through to you've got a bad toothache, you need to have a root canal filling done. And so let's just say on average, they're spending $300 per visit on that emergency treatment. That's quite a conservative figure when you consider the cost of root canal therapies. So on that means that the yearly tally for emergencies for your perpetual patients, $150. How about advised treatment? So during the examination, you've actually found a cavity that needs to be filled, a heavily filled tooth that needs to be restored either with a new composite or a crown. You need to have sealants for your children. So let's just say every second recall, so once a year, you find $350 worth of treatment that's required in a patient's mouth. Again, yearly tally, $350 for that one. How about the elective services such as whitening, such as some Invisalign, maybe a couple of veneers to improve the appearance? You're not going to be offering that to people every year. Let's say once every 5 years. Once every 5 years, you're offering a service to a patient or a patient has requested something that is more elective. And let's just say on average, that's going to be around $1,000 in value. So yearly tally, 1,000 times 0.2 is $200. Adding these services up, the tally per year for a perpetual patient is $1,160 to the practice. And let's now times that by the number of years loyalty that your perpetual patients generally stick around with you for. And the figure that was common when I was quizzing these practices was 15 years. So that yearly tally times by 15 gives us the lifetime value of that one perpetual patient of $17,400. Now, if you were trying to appeal to the perpetuals, what's one of the best sources of new patients for you? through those very perpetual patients. So encouraging them to refer their friends and family to your practice is a proven method of practice growth for your dental practice. And this is the impact that it can have. All of those calculations remain the same. We've got that yearly tally of 1,160 times by the 15 years of loyalty brings it to 17,400. Over the span of time of 15 years, if you were directly encouraging your perpetual patients to refer friends and family, how many would they refer? You know, there are some people that refer 20 patients in that time, and there's some that won't refer any. It's a character thing. So on average, the figure that we came up with was five. Five new patients would come in from that one perpetual patient. Each of those five patients, we're hoping to attract perpetual patients with themselves, have a lifetime value of $17,400 to your practice. Add all those together, $87,000, plus the original $17,400 for that original perpetual patient that you started off with, and you've got the total value of that one referring patient of $104,400. Extraordinary value. Now, let me go back to what category of patient is making up your practice. Imagine if there were a lot of perpetuals referring perpetuals. Can you imagine the value of your practice in comparison to a practice that was predominantly transient and loyal patients? A very big difference. They all have their value. But for long-term viability, getting perpetual patients coming through your door and encouraging them to refer, it will give your practice an enormous amount of value. I've got a grid here for you to do these calculations yourself. With your team, it's much better if the team are involved, because then they can have faith in that figure that it applies to your practice. And I'm not saying that every perpetual patient is going to be of this value. What I'm saying is that they all have the potential to be this value. And what can you as a practice do to help realize that potential? So do the calculations yourself for your particular practice. You could even do a calculation as a goal. We want, this is the kind of value that we have right now, but this is what we want. This is the perpetual patient that's referring. This is the kind of yearly spend they're spending with us. This is the number of years loyal that they'll be with us. And this is the amount of patients they'll generally refer to us over their lifetime with us. That's the value we want. That's the patient we want to try to attract and have it as a goal. The knock-on effect of who makes up your client base is in other systems that support the patient journey with you. If you've got a high proportion of transient patients in your practice and you've got a key performance indicator report tracking the success of your recall system, you're sending all of your recalls out. Maybe you're doing an SMS first and then a phone call and then a letter. And that's your strategy for recalling your patients back into your surgery. If you've got a loyal and transient dominant patient base, your key performance indicator or KPI for your recall system will be poor. It won't have a return a great figure. And when you look at that figure, you'll think to yourself, I need to change the recall strategy. It's not working. It's not being as effective as it could be. But it's not the recall strategy that's at fault here. The recall strategy could be absolutely fine. It's just that you are top heavy in transient and loyal patients, patients that do not get regular 6-monthly checkups. So too, the incomplete treatment. If you've got a practice that has got perpetual patients as a dominant force in your patient base, your incomplete treatment list will be very small because these patients generally book in for what they require. However, if you've got a bunch of transients, then your results for your incomplete treatment management report are going to be poor. And surveys, many practices send out surveys to their client base so they can help identify areas of improvement. If you've got many transient patients, you're sending surveys to your transients, you're getting their answers, and so you're implementing new ways of doing things that are going to meet their needs. But their needs aren't the ones that are going to be important for you long term. What you want to do is find out what the loyals and the perpetuals want. They're the ones that have this long term 15-year journey with you. Why try to meet the needs of somebody that may only ever see you once? You want to be able to meet the needs of the loyals and perpetuals. They're the ones that make up a strong and viable patient base. Even the verbiage and the language, the content of your messages with your recalls incomplete treatment processes needs to be catered towards your perpetuals and loyals, because speaking to the transients is a waste of time because they don't respond. They were never going to respond. You've got the professional responsibility to remind them of their next recall, or they've still got outstanding treatment to be done. Once you've done that, you're appealing to the loyals and perpetuals. And so make sure your verbiage, your content, the method that you're using to communicate with your patients are the ones that are going to be where loyals and perpetuals respond. So how are we going to be attracting our ideal patient? I'm going to jump to the next slide first. The patient avatar is something that many of you may have come across if you've had people help you with marketing. And the patient avatar is just your ideal patient. They say to bring it down to one specific person. Find out what their age, you know, is it a woman or a man? What age generally are they? For example, if you're doing a lot of implant work, your patient avatar is not going to have an age of 25. They're going to have more of an age of 65. Marital status, number of children, where they live, their occupation, etc. They say to even go into, what do you think their goals and values are? Where do they get their information from? Is it books, websites, influencers and gurus, or documentaries? What are their challenges and pain points and objections and role in purchase process? That's quite a snapshot of information. A method that I find quite helpful, though, in replacement of this or in substitution of this, is think about the services that you love to offer, that you hope to still be offering, but more so in the future. Now, think of a male and a female adult patient, or even if it's a child patient, but keep in mind it's the parents that make the dental appointment times. So a male and female patient that get those services, and pick two patients, one of each sex, because even though 90% of women, or sorry, I should say 90% of dental appointment times are still organized by a woman, your client base is often made up pretty much 50-50 of men and women. Pick one man and one woman who get these services from you, who you love dealing with. They are delightful. They value and appreciate the services and the efforts that you all go to. They pay their bills on time. They don't break appointment times. They do come in every 6 months for their appointment times as well. They're respectful, friendly, a joy to have around. Patients that when they leave, you go, gosh, if I just saw those patients all day, I would love my work. That's your patient avatar. You've got a male version and a female version. Even label them such. You may have these two patients in mind. Let's say one, the female is Sandy and the male is Brian. These become your avatars. We are now not just appealing to perpetuals or everybody. We're appealing to Brian and Sandy. And so when we are thinking about how we're attracting our patients, we're not just attracting a type of patient. We're thinking, what do Brian and Sandy want to see and experience of us in order to recognize that we're the practice for them? So the kind of external messages that patients are getting before they enter your doors, these are the patients that you're trying to attract, that you're paying money for SEO advertising and Google AdWords to try to get them into the practice. But there are better ways. So if you make sure that your website, your social media pages are presenting information and content that really appeals to Brian and Sandy, you are well on your way. What about the signage of the practice? Think of it from Brian and Sandy's perspective. What font would they like to see used? What colours? What kind of signage is on the outside? What kind of local advertising would appeal to Brian and Sandy? Word of mouth. What could someone say about your practice to Brian or to Sandy that makes them go, I must go there, that must become my dentist? The reputation that you're developing and the Google reviews that you get online, what do Brian and Sandy want to read? And the kind of reviews they want to read are people reviews from people who are like them. The internal messages, when Brian and Sandy turn up to come to your practice, them and the Brian and Sandys who are already in your practice, that you want to have, you want to keep them there in your practice. What level of customer service do they want? What kind of systems do they want that are really appeal to them? So what experience as a patient in your practice will delight Brian and Sandy? And if, for example, we've had so many transient patients come in because we're a newer practice and we're finding that all of these transient patients, they're generally very difficult to have them keep their appointment times and turn up on time. So now we've started asking for a $100 deposit in order to secure a Saturday appointment time, to cater for the transient crowd, to cater for the challenges that the transient group delivered to us. We're also going to start charging for late cancellations and FTAs because we're trying to avoid this big problem that's draining our production. We are putting systems in place, thinking it's a smart thing to do to help overcome the challenges of one group of patients. However, those very systems will make Brian and Sandy maybe a little bit upset. Maybe Brian and Sandy think, gosh, the practice used to be great, but now ever so slightly it's changing to be not as ideal as I used to think it was. The physical environment of the interior of the practice, what did Brian and Sandy want to see? The expertise of the staff, the services that you're providing. No point in advertising to the Brian and Sandys of the world if your whole core business is seeing little children. You want to appeal to the little children's mother. They're the ones that you want to make sure you please. They're the one making the appointment times and bringing those kids back each time. What standard of care do Brian and Sandy want? And what communications? And so when we're talking about the recalls, the incomplete treatment, what is going to appeal to Brian and Sandy? It's more likely going to be a letter over an SMS if you are an implant-heavy practice that is appealing to the 60-plus market. SMSs might be nice and quick and efficient, but is it truly delivering value to our Brians and Sandys? Keep in mind, the more you cater your external and internal messages to your ideal market, to your perpetuals, that's when you will start to see your practice made up of this strong client base that over time will be there spending money year after year, referring patient after patient, making you stronger and stronger and stronger. Yes, it takes longer to get those patients on board. It takes time, but they're around for ages and they're spending great dollars and you're not forced into making systems to cater for the disadvantages that come with them because they're your tribe. They're the ones that absolutely love your practice because you do everything in accordance to what satisfies them as a patient. I think that was my last slide. It was. So I hope that that is of assistance to you when you are trying to figure out what kind of marketing should I do, where should I be spending my marketing dollars. Quite often, the online space, they can say, oh, no, you got this many hits on your website or this many hits on the ad, and so that's what's helped fill your appointment book. But if it's filling your appointment book with new patients, full stop, that doesn't necessarily mean success. It does if you just want high new patient figures. However, usually you want high new patient figures because you want to increase turnover. You want to increase productivity. And so quite often you'll find that 10 perpetual new patients per month is worth far more to your practice than 50 transient and loyal patient, new patients to your practice. So you really think about what's going to build long-term value in this practice, what's going to allow us to build great systems and great operations within our practice to really cater for all the needs of this beautiful patient base. We're all happier. We're dealing with patients that absolutely love and adore us. We're still there for everybody, toothaches, transients, everybody. But our practice as a whole has moved and shifted and evolved to a new space. As Marshall Goldsmith has said in his book, what got you here won't get you there. So what got you here is successful and marvelous. But if you want to go there and start to really build a strong value in your patient base, this is the path to take, I say. Okay. Now, I'm going to share my screen again because I would like to share with you what our daily focus is going to be for this coming week. And as you remember, And as you will likely remember from our last live session where we spoke about confidence, the power of confidence, the power of developing it in other people and how to develop it within ourselves. This past week has all been about developing confidence within yourself. This coming week is going to all be about developing confidence in others. So remember, I'll just go back to the power of confidence. So high self-confidence, you picture your team members having high self-confidence and yourself. It aids quicker learning. You're more adaptable to change. You're eager to tackle new, unfamiliar work. You aspire to higher goals and dreams. You have a higher resilience, less anxiety. You normally have better opportunities coming your way because you can actually see them. You're not fearful about opportunities. You develop greater success, and high confidence begets high confidence. So the high confidence will continue to build. The power of self-confidence when it comes to actually performing well as a human being in a workplace is crucial. If you have low confidence, you're going to be so fearful and reticent and reserved and resist everything. But if you've got a high level of self-confidence, this is where you take on fresh challenges constantly, you're wanting to better your performance all the time, and you can feel yourself improving. That in itself is a great motivator as well. So I want to make sure that you have now got the skills to build up self-confidence in others, not just yourself. So this coming week, publicly and privately acknowledge wins of your team members. They can be tiny wins. They can be enormous wins. Publicly and privately acknowledge these wins. There is value, obviously, to publicly acknowledge people's wins. But if you took somebody aside and said, I just wanted to have a quick chat with you, I want to let you know, I know that you've been trying to make sure that you're more confident on the telephone. I tell you, it's working. I listen to you. I hear you. I can hear the confidence in your voice. You are going brilliantly. Oh, the power of it all. Provide opportunities for growth. So give them a chance to improve and progress within their skills. Support and encourage them on the way. That will instill greater confidence in them. Create an environment of learning, you know, that whole constant never-ending improvement that we're all learning together. None of us are perfect. We're all learning. And so create an environment where it's not a scary thing to step outside your comfort zone into the learning zone. It's actually not just encouraged and acceptable, but it's exciting and we want to be on this journey together. Give autonomy with support. Autonomy is crucial to self-confidence. When I had my experience of having my autonomy removed in a working environment, one of the three big things that diminished me very rapidly was self-confidence. You doubt everything you do. You're not capable of doing anything. It's quite damaging. So give autonomy. Tell them how to do it. Give them the ropes of doing it, but then provide the support as well. How are you going with that? What results are you getting? Can I provide you any further assistance? embrace mistakes. When you are encouraging people to learn new things and to perform at a higher standard than they did previously, they will make mistakes. But mistakes are a bad thing. They are the crucial stepping stones to becoming masters at what they do. So look at these mistakes as a wonderful progression towards their further learning and skill development. Remind people of their capabilities. We forget how far we've come. When we're the individual, we forget, gosh, I run for an hour now when I go out for my exercise, which I don't, I still run, walk. But you forget, gosh, at the start, I couldn't run for 5 minutes. I was constantly stop, start. You forget how quickly you do progress, and that big gap between not knowing how to do something to being able to do something. So remind people, I remember when you were first here and you were really shy about giving oral hygiene instruction to patients, but now it's just water off a duck's back. You're so confident with it now. I remember when you first started, you could hardly use the computer system. But look at you now, you're a master at it. You train other people in it. Let them know, I know you can do this. I have confidence in you. If they don't have the confidence in themselves, tell them you have the confidence and faith in them. People are often think that if I tell somebody that they're not great at something, they'll be so repulsed by the idea, it will spark them and motivate them into learning. When you have show that you've got confidence in that other person, that's when they start to respond positively towards that and they want more of that. Have your team members train others. This is a tremendous way of developing confidence. It helps them realize, gosh, I really do know my stuff. I'm training somebody else. Also, celebrate wins along the way. So no matter how small the win, let them know, gosh, you did it. That's fantastic. That's so great. I can see you're on the journey to perfecting this new project. So that will be the coming week's daily focus. I hope you have fun with it, and I hope that you find it impactful for your team members. I look forward to seeing you next time, next Wednesday, for our next live session. And I do encourage you to contact me if there are any topics that you would love to know more about or that you're having a particular challenge with. We can get it up there, lickety-split, and help you solve all of those issues. I look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.